Hey, good evening, everybody. Tomorrow's daf, Erev Rosh Hashanah's daf, is Beis Daf Vav. I didn't print out these sponsors. Let me get that right now. The daf shir is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, and is also sponsored by Uri Katz, Leila Nishmas, Oma Meyerfeld, Hinda Chaya, Bas Hachaver Yaakov, on her yard site, which is Erev Rosh Hashanah, Nesham Hashav and Aliyah, and we thank both sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So we left off on the very top of Daf Vav Amud Aleph, and the Gemara is going to describe the idea of Kvura on Yom Tov, whether there's a difference between Yom Tov Rishon and Yom Tov Sheni, and whether it makes a difference when it comes to Yom Tov Sheni, Shal Rosh Hashanah, the second day of Rosh Hashanah, whether Kvura is any different when it comes to that. Then the Gemara is going to we're going to discuss that it's not only things that relate to Kvura that we allow being done Al Yedei Yisrael and Yom Tov Sheni, even things that aren't absolutely necessary to the Etzem HaKvura are going to be allowed on Yom Tov Sheni. And then the Gemara is going to discuss, what about an Efroach, a chick that gets that comes out of its shell on Yom Tov, and we're going to try to discuss what the Chiddush is that is said about the Efroach that comes out of its shell on Yom Tov. And then the Gemara is going to have a statement that is going to have five different interpretations of what it means. The Gemara is going to say, Beitza im yitziyasa nigmara. So what does that mean? Beitza im yitziyasa nigmara. The Mai Nafkamina that a Beitza is im yitziyasa nigmara. So we're going to have five different interpretations of what that means. We're not going to get to all five interpretations today, but at least we'll get to the first few. So let's begin Amar Rava at the very top of Daf Vav Amar Aleph. So says the Gemara, Amar Rava. Rava tells us as follows. Meis b'yom tov rishon, if you have a dead body that needs burial on Yom Tov Rishon, it doesn't mean that the person dies on Yom Tov Rishon, it just means that the mace is there and needs to be buried on Yom Tov Rishon. If you look at the top Rashi, mace Yom Tov Rishon, mace hamuta likbar im Yom Tov Rishon hu, meaning it's mace, kama, there is a mace, so if it happens to be Yom Tov Rishon, yisaskubo amimim, then the halach is, you bury the dead, but you have non-Jews be involved in the burial, not a Yisrael, because even though Amira Lenachri is normally Aser, it's only Aser Mishum Shvus, and Mishum Kavod HaMeis, we're Matir Shvus, we're Matir Nisud Rabbanan, Mishum Kavod HaMeis, because Kavod HaBriel says Doche Lo Saseh Shabbatara, which means it's Doche Yisurim Drabbanan, that's the Sugi Mesechus Brachus Taf Yates, that while Kavod HaBriel says not Doche Yisurim Daraisa, it is Doche Yisurim Drabbanan, so Amira Lenachri is only an Issa Drabbanan, and therefore, for the sake of Kavod HaBriel, to make sure that the mace gets buried, we allow that even on Yom Tov Rishon. Question is, some of the Meiri deals with, some of the Rishonim deal with, well, why not on Shabbos then? Why don't we have Nachri bury the mace on Shabbos? Why do we wait till after Shabbos? Amir al-Nachri on Shabbos is also only a Shavuos. So the Meiri says, no, but Yom Tov, there are already exceptions, meaning since there's already an exception of Echel Nefesh, so we're more willing to work with the exceptions. But Shabbos, there are no exceptions, so we try not to make an exception for Shabbos. But that's the basic concept of Kavod HaBriyos being docha, even Losa say in the Torah, Kavod HaBriyos being docha an Issur Drabbanan. When the Gemara says that Kavod HaBriyos docha Losa Shabbat Torah, it means, the Gemara says in Brachos, it means the Issur of Losasur, which means that it's only docha Drabbanan, or sometimes even Daraisas if it's B'shei V'Altasa, but not become Vasei. B'Yom Tov Sheni, on the second day of Yom Tov, Yisasku Bo Yisrael. You can even have a Yisrael be involved in the Kavura. It's so interesting that on the first day of Yom Tov, we're going to have Nachrim be involved in the Kavura, meaning the person isn't Zocha to have a Yisraelim engaged in his Kavura. It's more important to get him buried right away, apparently, than to have Jews doing the burial. Rav Elchanan says, you see a raya from here, that if you have to categorize the mitzvah of Kavura Sameis, you know, there are many ways to categorize mitzvahs. There are many ways to categorize mitzvos. One of the ways to categorize mitzvos is that there are maisa-oriented mitzvos and there are goal-oriented mitzvos. There are some mitzvos that are just about doing the maisa. You do netilas lulav, so you did the maisa of lulav. What is it meant to accomplish? Okay, so we discuss what the nanuim is, girabeina de sitna, keeps away the ruchos rose or whatever. But really, as far as the kiyum mitzvos is concerned, it's just the maisa that you have to do. Whereas there are other mitzvos that are goal-oriented mitzvos. We've discussed discussed in the past, asiyas maka, to build a fence around your roof. It's not about the going through the maisa of constructing a fence. You can have a nachri do it for you. You could hire a nachri to build a fence, and it's the same mitzvah. It's about keeping a safe home. It's keeping making sure that your home is safe. Nachri is not a bar shlichus. You don't need shlichus. It's all about accomplishing the goal. Says Rav Chanan, the impression you get is that kvura semeis is a goal-oriented mitzvah. It's to make sure that the mace gets buried, that it not be bizoy a mace, that he remain unburied, that he remain out. So it's a goal-oriented mitzvah, not a mace-oriented mitzvah. Now, one could argue, not necessarily, meaning maybe, yeah, it's both. It's a goal-oriented mitzvah, certainly, that there shouldn't be bizoy a mace, but it's also a maila to have a Jew involved in the maisa of kvura. Elamai, it's a greater maila to have the mace not be mutal bibizayon than the maila of having a Yisrael be osik in the kvura. And that's what we generally try to do at a funeral. We try to have Yisraelim involved as much as reasonable in the kvura. It's not always possible. Sometimes you have just a minion of people, and some of them are too weak or have health problems, and they're not able to do much digging, and it's 12 degrees outside. We were at a Beis Olam today. We were visiting Kibre Tzadikim. Someone told me the last time he was there, he remembers it was the middle of the winter. They were burying this person. He showed me which kever it was. They were burying this person. They were sitting there with a blowtorch in the ground to unfreeze the ground so that they can dig out of the ground. So you're going to have everyone. Sometimes it's not possible. So you have Amimim involved. But you see that on Yom Tov Rishon, it's more important to have the burial done than to make sure that it be done on Yidei Yisrael. But on Yom Tov Sheni, the Chiddush is, we even allow Yisraelim to be Osek in the Kavur of Avfilu B'Shal Yom Tov Shal Hashanah. Not only on regular Yom Tov Sheni Shal Galdios, even the second day of Rosh Hashanah, we have Yisraelim involved in the Kavura, even though on Yom Tov Sheni Shal Rosh Hashanah, it seems to be more chamer than other Yom Tov Sheni Shal Galdios, like we've explained. But Kavod HaMeis is such an important Inyan that we treat it like Yom Tov Sheni of other Yom Tovim. So we're not mekel on Yom Tov Sheni Shal Rosh Hashanah for anything else other than a mace. Masha ein kein bebeitza. Meaning, as opposed to saying, when it comes to a beitza, the halacha is a beitza that's nolda be Yom Tov, you're not allowed to eat. V'shnei Yom Tovim Shal Galios, nolda b'rishon, we said, you can eat b'sheni. You're allowed to eat on the second day of Yom Tov. Because in the Torah, only one of those days is Kadosh, and it's just that the place that Shulchei Bezin didn't arrive at, they didn't know what day was Kodesh, or what day the Yom Tov was really. So which of the 2 days of Kodesh, which one is Chal? And therefore, out of a suffix, we make Shnei Yom Tov. So Miman of Shuch, a Beitza that's an old Debrishon, is going to be Mutter B'Sheni on regular Yom Tov Sheni, because if one day is Kodesh, the next day is Chal. So the Beitza that's an old on the first day, if the first day was Kodesh, the second day is Chal. If the first day was Chal, so then you wouldn't have a problem at all, and the second day would be Kodesh, you'd be allowed to have that Beitza. But that's only when it comes to other Yom Tovim, but Shnei Yom Tovim Shal Hashanah L'chora is different, because that's Kedusha Achas, Midrabanan, we treat that like a Kedusha Arichta, and they both have a Kedusha Zvadai, right? That's what we just learned earlier today, that even though they knew they weren't being Mekabel Edim anymore, after Mincha, after the Zman Tovim Shal Din Rabbayim, they still were continuing to be Noeg that day with Kedusha. So you find sometimes that even though it's the second day is only going to be Niskadish, nevertheless, and the first day was not, nevertheless, there were no Kedusha on the first day. So it's more chamur on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, and that's why a Beitza Shenolda on Yom Tov Rishon Shal Rosh Hashanah is aser on Yom Tov Sheni Shal Rosh Hashanah. So even though when it comes to a Beitza Shenolda, we're machmir to treat it like Kedusha Achaz and not to allow a Beitza Shenolda Bezeh on the second day, when it comes to Kvura Sameis, we're Mekel. Nardai Amri Af Bebeitza. Nardai say, we're even Mekel when it comes to Beitza. We allow on Yom Tov Sheni Shal Rosh Hashanah a Beitza that was nolad on Yom Rishon of Rosh Hashanah. Because even though the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah are somewhat different than regular Yom Tov Sheni Shal Galios, because by Yom Tov Sheni Shal Galios, only one of them is truly Kadosh, but nevertheless, we could be matir even Yom Tov Sheni Shal Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara explains why Nardai felt this way. Why would you ask her on the second day of Rosh Hashanah for those who are distant from the Beis Din to be machmir? Seder like it's Yom Rishon L'chol Davar, to treat it like it's the first day. It's because in the Zman Beis HaMikdash they were knowing 2 days like Kedusha Achas, and they asked the Beis HaShol the Rishon of Hasheni, so we continue to treat it like one Kedusha. So says Mar Dilma Marbi Le'lelu, the whole concern was that maybe Eidei HaChodesh are going to come on the first day after Mincha, and because of that they're not going to be Mekabel the Eidos, so the 30th day of Elul is actually going to be the 30th day of Elul. It's not going to be the first day of Tishrei, and it's going to turn out that it's B'Torah's Vaday that we're being knowing 2 days. Well, that's not a legitimate concern, because Amrav Chinna Barkan Amrav Mimos Ezra Ve'Elach L'Matzinu Elul Mu'ubar. From the days of Ezra and on, it never happened. They never had to add, and they never made the 30th day of Elul a Yom Kadosh, even though they were Mesakeh not to be Mekabel Eidim in Amincha L'Maila. It never actually happened that they had to be Ma'aber Elul. They were always Mekadesh Chodesh Tishrei on the 30th day of Elul. That was always Rosh Hashanah Min HaTorah. So they never, you don't have any such legitimate concern. So the Takana of Kedusha Achas was never actually fulfilled. And since nowadays we know that it's never going to be considered a Yom Ha'arichta, so even though we're knowing Shnei Yom Shal Rosh Hashanah, you shouldn't treat them like Kedusha Achas. They should be viewed as two separate Kedushos. That's the argument Nardoi made. So now the Gemara goes back to what Rava said about Kvuras HaMeis, about burying a mace on Yom Tov, and the Gemara says, you know, not everyone agrees about burying a mace in Yom Tov. This idea that Yom Tov Sheni is Yisasku Bo Yisrael, that's only in a case where it's going to be delayed for an extended period of time, and the mace is going to start to smell, it's going to start to rot. But if it's not going to be a long amount of time, from the time of death until the time that you're going to bury the mace, and the mace is not going to start to smell, then Mashinalei, then you wait until after Yontif, and you bury the mace after Yontif. We don't take advantage of these kulas of burying the mace on Yontif. Rav Ashi Amar, Afal Gav Delo Ishtayi, even if the mace is not going to have to wait, you know, the guy died on Yontif Sheni, Nami Lo Mashinalei, we do not hold the mace over, we bury him right away. My Taima, Yontif Sheni Legabe Mace, here's the line, Kichol Shavuot Rabbanan. When it comes to a mace, we treat Yom Tov Sheni like a weekday. So if someone is, if there's a mace that needs to be buried and it's Yom Tov Sheni, treat it like a weekday and the person can be buried even Al Yedei Yisrael. So that's a fascinating thing. That seems to be the maskana of the Gemara. That seems to be the halacha. It's halacha psukah and shulchan aruch like that. And yet, probably nobody here has ever been to a levaya on Yom Tov Sheni, let alone Yom Tov Rishon Al Yedei Amimim. So by Chasidim, they're making it like this. By Chasidim, by many Chasidim, they will have a levaya. They will do a kvura on Yom Tov. But most of the literature world does not do so. Why not? Rav Moshe writes in a tshuva in Or HaChaim Chelek Gimel Siman Ayin Vav that nowadays that all the mesim are kept refrigerated, so there's no chashash of shami yasriach. So maybe you shouldn't bury even al yedei goy, even though the poskim write that you don't delay the kvura even when there's no chashash shami yasriach. That's only bizmanum that there wouldn't be a chashash of chilul Shabbos by everybody else that's involved in being malava the mace. But nowadays there's going to be a million other chilul Shabbos is involved. I mean, when the whole issue was just about digging the grave, okay. But now, you know, you're going to drive in the car, and there're going to be a million other things. You can call on the phone. There are going to be a million other things that are involved in terms of getting the person buried. And therefore, since there's no longer a concern of that it's going to be masriach, so we no longer take advantage of this leniency. In the Tshuvas Chalkas Yaakov, he similarly says to Rav Moshe, and then he adds that according to the Deos, that anyone who's machshel chaveru, even in Issa Drabanan, is in violation of Lifnei Iver on a Daraisa level. So it's pashut that if al yedei halvayas hameis, if by being malav the mace properly, people are gonna violate even in Issa Drabanan, that's not kosher to cover a mace. We said kechol shavir rabanan, but what about those things that aren't really fully related to cover a mace? So if by holding a levaya, people are gonna end up violating halachos that are not kosher to cover a mace, that are not connected to the cover a mace. So it's gonna turn out out that by doing this, it's a violation of Nisa Daraisa. So the whole part was that cover of Bias is Dochi Yisur Drabanan, but it's going to be a Nisa Daraisa of Lifnei Iver. So in general, the poskim in general encourage or discourage rather people from being involved in anything that's going to be a maimed of Chil Shabbos or Chil Yamtov. Meaning, even if I'm going to try to be careful, but by getting everybody together, it's going to be such a situation. You have like this sometimes. My brother is a Mayo in Northern California. So sometimes he'll get calls from people who are transplanted, Israelis who are not necessarily so, what do they say, not yet observant, right? And they'll ask about doing a Mila on Shabbos or Yantiv. So you know what's going to happen. There's going to be a photographer. There's going to be, everyone's going to be driving there. The whole Maimed is going to be a Maimed of Chil Shabbos. So technically the Mila is Deicha Shabbos. The Mila is Deicha Yantiv. But that doesn't mean that you can do everything on Shabbos and Yomtiv. That's why the majority of the poskim say, so you stay away from such situations. But that's the, so even though it is Eino Chinami, it's Kecholish of your Rabbanan, but nevertheless, that seems to be the minhag is that that we stay away from doing those things. And not only by the, there's also discussion that Debetzin Rav as a series of tshuvas, that if you're in a community where they do take advantage of this halacha mefureshes, that you could do the kavura. What about coming back from the cemetery? Right? Can you get in a car to come back from the cemetery? Says Pasha, says no. Meaning, why should you be allowed to come back from the cemetery? Is it going to be a sakana? Is it going to be dangerous? Okay, that's one thing. But if it's not going to be dangerous, you know, many of the cemeteries now, there's a building that you can go inside. It's climate controlled. You could sit there. Now, it's true, they close the gates of the cemetery, when it gets dark. So maybe that could be a sakana. But generally speaking, there's where to be. So you could stay there till the end of Yantiv. And you can say, oh, but I have to catch davening. You're not allowed to get in a car even if you have to catch davening. You know, in general, you know, if you live far away from a shul, you're not allowed to drive just to be able to catch davening. In Orthodox Judaism, we don't allow that. So says the Gemara, back in the Gemara now. So we said, not only do we allow kavura al yidei Yisrael, even things that are not absolutely essential to the kavura itself, even those things can be done al yidei Yisrael. Afilu megas leglima, even to cut the tachrichin that they make for the cover of the mace. And the megas leasa, or to cut the hadasim that they would put on the mitas mace as a cover for the mace. Nowadays that we have we live among foreign nations that the chabare, the parsim were called chabari, we're not allowed to bury a mace on Yom Tov Sheni al Yidei Yisrael, because then they would force us to do malacha all the time on Yom Tov. Because what are we going to say? We're going to tell our boss, sorry, I can't work today, it's Yom Tov. Oh yeah? Well, I see you burying the dead. So apparently it's not such a serious thing not to work, not to do malacha on Yom Tov. So we're choshesh that they're going to force us to do work for them as well, and that's why we don't take advantage of this kula. Ravina of Yosef Kamed Rav Ashi, B'shnei Yom Tov Shul Hashana. Ravina was sitting in front of Rav Ashi, two different girsos, the magia, they changed it to Rav Ashi, on Shnei Yom Tov Shul Hashana. Chaz Yedava Atzev, and Ravina saw that in Yom Tov Rishon, Rav Ashi was sad. Amrlei, Amai Atzev Mari, said, why are you sad? Which is so interesting. It was Rosh Hashanah. Why didn't you just answer, it's the Yom Hadid? I'm terrified, because that's what you're supposed to be on the Yom Hadid. Elamai, it's not what you're supposed to be Yom Hadid. What does the Rambam write? There are Yimei Simcha, just not Yimei Simcha Yaseira, meaning it's not jovial, it's not an excessive Simcha, but Yom Tov is still Yom Tov, it's still Yimei Simcha. That's what the Torah writes, the famous Medrash, that we come into Rosh Hashanah, dressed in our finest, with confidence, with a sense of confidence going into the Yom Hadid. We shouldn't be sad on the Yom Hadid. It's a discussion of the poskim whether you're allowed to cry on Rosh Hashanah, right? There's some people that if you don't cry, they think that there's something wrong with you. Other people that will say, no, it's the day of Simcha, you're not allowed to cry on Rosh Hashanah. So he said, why are you sad? Amar Leih, Rav Ashi said, you know why? Mishum Delo Sivi Eruvi Tavshilin. I forgot an Erev Tavshilin. And I assume the end of the sentence was, and my wife is going to kill me, right? I assume that's where it was going. That Rosh Hashanah was Thursday, Friday, so he needs an Erev Tavshilin in order to be able to prepare for Shabbos. And he forgot to make the Erev Tavshilin, or he must have been the rabbi of the town. And everyone relies on the rabbi, whoever forgot. Oh, don't worry, you can rely on the rabbi's Erev Tavshilin. He makes it on behalf of everybody in the town. Well, now I'm the rabbi of the town, and if I forgot the Erev Tavshilin, what is everybody going to rely on? So Amalei, Velosiv Mari Idna. So Ravina said, why don't you just make an Erev Tavshilin right now? And through that, you'll be able to cook on Yom Tov Sheni. Because Milo Amar Rava, didn't Rava teach us that we have two Yom Tov Tovim Shel Galios, if Thursday and Friday are the Shnei Yom Tovim Shel Galios, so you can make an Erev Tavshilin al Tanai. Maniach Adam Erev Tavshilin Yom Tov L'Chaveru U'Masna. You can make an Erev Tavshilin to allow you to cook on Yom Tov Sheni for Shabbos, and you could be Masna. You can make it Tanai and say as follows. If today is really a weekday, meaning you're on Thursday right now, so if Thursday is really a weekday and it's not really Yom Tov, perfect, I'm right on time for my Erev Tavshilin. And if it's really Yom Tov, so then tomorrow is a weekday, and on a weekday I'm allowed to cook for Shabbos, and therefore you're going to be allowed to cook for Shabbos. So Amaleis, Rav Ashi said back to me, Emer Dam Rav B'Shnei Yom Tov Shel Galios. Yeah, that's why by a regular Shnei Yom Tov Shel Galios, where it's Sveika Diyoma, where it's Betar Sefek, that we observe the Shnei Yom Tov, but B'Shnei Yom Tov Shel Rosh Hashanah Mi'amar. Do we say such a thing by the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, where it's Betar Vadai? So maybe you can make him Man of Shuch. It's Kedush Arichta. It's one long day of Yom Tov. So Ravina said back, but don't you know that Nardai said, like we said earlier in the daf, that even 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, a Beitza Shenol de Barishon is Mutter on the second day. So you see that we treat it like regular Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galios. So Amalei Rav Mordechai, Rav Mordechai was a Talmud of Rav Ashi, said back to Ravina, so the Gemara tells us in Sota, Daf Memvav, that by the Chi of Levia of a Talmud of the Rabbah, that Rav Mordechai was Malave Rav Ashi ad Parsa. So we see that Rav Mordechai was a Talmud of Rav Ashi. So if you're wondering, like, how did he figure into the story, right? How did he get over here? Ravina was sitting in front of Rav Ashi, and he saw that Ravina saw that Rav Ashi was sad. So where was Rav Mordechai? So Rav Mordechai Mistama was sitting with his Rebbe. So Rav Mordechai was a Talmud Rav Ashi. Said to Ravina, "Don't challenge Rav Ashi. That don't you know that Nardai say that the Shrei Yom Tov Shel Hashana are just like a regular 2 days of Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galios? Beferish Amali Mar Delo Savlo Dinardai. That Rav Ashi taught me that we don't paskin like the Nardai. We paskin like Rav and Shmuel that the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah are Kedusha Achas, and that's why he doesn't want to make an Eruv from one day to the next. Say Itmar Efroach Shenol B'Yom Tov. If you have an Efroach that's Nol on Yom Tov, you have a chick that is hatched on Yom Tov, Rav says a new discussion. Rav Amar Aser, Ushmol Vitem Rabbi Yochanan Amar Mutter. Rav says it's Aser on that day, Shmuel says, and Item Rabbi Yochanan says that it's Mutter. So the Gemara explains what the basis of the Machlokas is. Rav Amar Aser Muktzuhu. Rav says it's Aser because it's Muktzah. Ben Hashmash was the Ver of Yom Tov before it came out of the egg. It was Aser, it was an Isser Sheret, so it wasn't Ra'ui to be eaten at all. So it's Muktzah from the time that Yom Tov started. So mainly, even though it hatches on Yom Tov, you're not let it eat it. Shmuel v'item Rabbi Yochanan Amar Mutter. Holu Mater Atzmo B'Shchita. What does that mean exactly? He says it's Mutter because it could be Mater Atzmo B'Shchita. Before it was born, if they would they would take the egg out of the Afroach, it would have been Asur Mishum Sheretz. But Migo that through the Leda, it's Mater itself and it becomes Roi La'achila Al Yidei Shchita. So it's also Mater itself from the Isur Muktzah, that since it would have been an Isur of Sheretz. And yet, now that it's been born, now that it's hatched, you can shecht it and it takes away that iser, so too it takes away whatever iser muktzah was there as well. That's how Rashi seems to explain. A lot of the acharonim have a difficulty understanding what does one got to do with the other. Just because now it's not an egg anymore, it's not a sheretz anymore, now it's a chick, so now you can shecht it. What does it have to do with the iser muktzah? Why would that automatically take care of the iser muktzah? Not so clear, but that's how Rashi reads that line of the Gemara. The Pnei Yeshua is very bothered by the Svara, so he has an entirely different interpretation of the Gemara. The Rashash says it's similar to a Hawil that we have in Masechet Yevamos. The Achronim are done on this a lot. So Amalei Rav Kana Rav Asi Rav. Rav Kana Rav Asi said to Rav, V'chima bein zeh le'egel shenol b'yom tov. Why should an Efroach that hatches on Yom Tov, that you're saying is Asur Mishum Mutza, why should that be any different than an Egel that's born on Yom Tov, that the Brice is going to say that it's Mutter l'divrei HaKol, that everyone holds that if an Egel is born, if a calf is born on Yontif, and you're interested in eating veal that Yontif, you can shech the calf and have yourself a nice veal su'uda, and it's not going to be your problem. Samar lahu. So Rav said, an egel that's nolad in Yontif is not muktzah, ho'olu mucha nagavim b'shchita. Because the halacha is, even before it was born, it still could have become mutter through shchita, because ubar is yarech imo, and ubar is considered, the fetus is considered one of the limbs of the mother, and if you shech the mother while the ubar is still in inside the mother, it could be eaten without shechita. That's the halacha called ben pakua. So since already an erev yom tov was something that was wrought to be hutar al yidei shechita, as opposed to nefroach, which has no heter al yidei shechita until it's born, the efroach could not become mutar al yidei shechita until it was born. So that's the difference between the egel and the chick that hatches. The chick that hatches was muktzah before, and therefore it remains muktzah because there was no way to eat it before it hatched. But the egel, there was a way to eat it before it was born. Simply shech the mother, and it would have been mutar. So then he said, "Uma bein zele egel shenolad min atreifa." Okay, but still, why should the efroach be any different than an egel that's born from a mother that's a treifa? A mother that's a treifa, its shechita would not be matir anything on Yom Tov, even though it's mutar on Yom Tov. We don't find that anyone asks it mishum muktza. So the uber treifa would not become mutar with the shechita of the mother, because the shechita of the mother doesn't do anything. The shechita for the mother doesn't do anything. The shechita of the mother's a treifa, so the shechita doesn't help on the mother. So it's not royal shechita until it's actually born. So since it's nolad on Yom Tov, it turns out that it was not huchan before Yom Tov, and it's muktza. And nevertheless, we still allow you to take it now that the calf has been born on Yom Tov, even though it would not have become Hutar al Yidei Shechita prior to Yom Tov. Now it's born on Yom Tov, you can check the calf and it's perfectly fine. So why should that be any different than a chick that hatches on Yom Tov? Why is the chick that hatches all of a sudden going to be a problem with Muktza? Shasak Rav. Rav had nothing to say. So interesting, though, that we assume that the Shechita of a treifa mother is not going to work for the baby. Why not? I would have assumed that the shechita of a treifa mother does work. It's a shechita, it's a valid shechita. I didn't do drisa, I didn't do shia, I didn't do any of the psule shechita. There was nothing wrong with the knife, there was nothing, right? Everything was good. The only thing is, the mother's a treifa, so the mother happens to not be kosher, but it was a kosher act of shechita. Elamai, you see from there that a treifa is not subject to shechita, that it's not, that by definition that's called the pasul of shechita, and therefore even on the uber, which is a kosher animal, it's not going to work as a shechita. Or just very simply, uber yerechimo. So if the shechita is not going to work on the mother, the only reason the shechita works on the fetus is because the fetus is a part of the mother. But if it doesn't work for the mother because the mother's a treifa, then the uber has a status of a treifa until the uber comes out. That while it's still inside the mother, it still has the status of a treifa. Amar Rav Avitei Rav Yosef, my time is shasak Rav. Why did Rav, why did Rav quiet down? And it was all of a sudden, it was like a checkmate on Rav. Again, what did they ask? Why should the chick that hatches be any different than an egel that comes from a treifa mother? So why couldn't Rav give a simple answer? Lema lehu, he should have responded to them, ho'il muchan agav imo, that since already on Erev Yom Tov before it was born, it was muchan agav the mother, leklovim, maybe not for human consumption, but a treifa, what do you do? Lekelef tashlichun oso, it could be fed to dogs. So it's not something that's useless, it's not something that's muksa, it's something that has a use, that before it was born, it's not something that was not roy for anything. It was omed lachilas klavim, as opposed to an efroach before it hatches, try to feed a dog an egg that is not yet hatched, where there's a chick that's developing and has not yet hatched. The dog's not going to be interested in such a thing. So that's a very different story. That's absolutely muksa. So Abaye says back. Abaye says back to Rabba, Hashta Mukhan Adam, Lavi Mukhan Klavin, that he couldn't have given that answer, because the Hachana Agav, the mother, for Klavim is not enough to be matirid from the Muktza, because according to the Shita that the Yisr Muktza, the something that's Mukhan on Erev Shabbos for Achilas Adam, and in the middle of Shabbos it changes and it becomes something that's only Royal Klavim, we don't say that included in the original Hachana is that it's designated for Klavim as well. Lavi Mukhan Klavim. It's also mishumuktza, meaning if something was human food when Shabbos started, and then something happened over Shabbos that made it not ra'oi for human food, we don't say, oh, it's not muktza now because it was designated for animal food as well. No, whatever you're going to have as human food, you're not designating for animal food. And Rabbi says, Titzanan, because we have a Mishnah that tells us, mechadchen es hadluin lifnei habehema, that you can cut up gourds in front of an animal, and we don't say that it's a tircha that's unnecessary. That's a nevela lifnei klavim, and you can also cut up Nevela lefnei klavim, and somehow from there we see that which is muchan la'adam is not muchan leklavim. Exactly how we see that, Tosfos has some trouble with, you know, where we see in that line that which is muchan adam is not muchan leklavim, but somewhere there we see that. Rabbi Yehuda omer imlois in nevelim erev Shabbos, that if the animal was not an nevelim from erev Shabbos, it only became a nevelim on Shabbos, asura lefishedim in amuchan, then it's asuti that day because it's not min amuchan. That's really the line. Because it was not muchan erev Shabbos for achilas klavim, it was only omed for achilas adam on erev Shabbos. And therefore, if the animal is not an nevela on Erev Shabbos, so it was you had your eye on this animal for you to eat it, not to give it to the dogs. And then it was nesnavel, it became a nevela on Shabbos, so that's muktza. We don't say it was muchan leklavim, it was muchan for a person beforehand. So Abaye concludes his raya and he says, since the hachana for a person is not considered hachana for an animal, so muchan leklavim havi muchan la'adam. Do you think that muchan leklavim is considered to be muchan la'adam? So an egel that's born from a treifa mother is not muchan. And that's why Rav was silent and he didn't respond anything to what Rav Kahana and Rav Asi asked him. How would the egel could be mutter when it's born on Yom Tov? So Amar Leh, Rav said, I don't see what the problem is. Muchan adam lavi muchan leklavim. D'may dechazi leilinu shal shadi leil leklavim. Muchan leklavim avi muchan adam. D'dayti dinish akami dechazi leil. Just because something is muchan la'adam is not muchan leklavim, that's for a very simple svara. If I think that this could be human food, I would never designate it for animal food, and therefore it's muktza klape animal food. But muchan leklavim, that which is ra'ui to be fed to dogs, it is considered muchan for a person, because people are always looking for opportunities to benefit in the maximum possible way. So even though it wasn't ra'ui for human use always, but you were not makta midaito from potentially eating it, it's included in the achana that if the egel is born on Yom Tov, then you're going to eat that egel. So Tanya Kavase Rav, we have a brisa that supports Rav. Again, Rav is one that holds that an afroach that's nolad on Yom Tov is aser. That if the chick hatches on Yom Tov, it's aser. And Tanya Kavase de Shmuel Vitem Rabbi Yochanan. We have another brisa that supports Shmuel Vitem Rabbi Yochanan, who says that if the chick hatches on Yom Tov, that it's mutter. So Tanya Kavase de Rav, the brisa that supports Rav, says very straightforward. Egel shenolad be Yom Tov, mutter. That an egel is born on Yom Tov, it's mutter that day, you're allowed to eat it that day. Efroach shenolad be Yom Tov, aser. But a chick hatches on Yom Tov, it's aser. Uma hefresh bein zel lezeh. Why would the chick be any different than the egel? Zeh muchan agavim al bishchita. The egel, before it's born, it's muchan from Erev Yom Tov, agav the mother with shchita. If you check the mother while the egel was still in the womb, it would be mutter to eat it. Vizeh einu muchan agavimo. But the chick is not muchan agav its mother. It doesn't have any hater achila until it's finally born. So since an Erev Yom Tov bin Hashmash is not roi for anything, it's muktzah for the entirety of Yom Tov. Tanya kavasei d'shmuel v'item Rabbi Yochanan. But then we have a brisa that supports the other side of the argument. The shmuel v'item Rabbi Yochanan. That egel shenol b'yom tov mutter. That an egel that's born on Yom Tov is mutter on to eat that day. Ve'efrog shenol b'yom tov mutter. And efrog shenol b'yom tov is also mutter. My time, why? Ze muchan agavima. Well, the egel is muchan agav the mother, since you could shech the mother. Ve'ze matir atzmo b'shchita. And the efrog is matir itself with its leida for shchita, meaning once it's born, now you can shecht it. Oh, so since now it became mutter to shecht, mimelut muksa status goes away as well. Again, whatever that svara was, but that's what Rashi said, it's like a migo. The migo that now it's eligible for shchita, so it's muksa status, the problems of muksa fly away as well. Tan Rabbanan, afroach shnol b'yom tov aser, that an afroach that hatches in yom tov is aser, b'lozer ben Yaakov omer, af b'chol aser, l'fi shalon ispat chuenav, that even on a weekday, if it hatches, it's aser ba'achila on the day that it's born, because its eyes didn't open up yet. And we're going to see a reboy in a pasuk that tells me that it's still considered a sheret until its eyes open up. So you cannot take a freshly hatched chick and shecht it. Kiman, Yaakov, that the one that darshens the pasuk lekol asheret asheret alaretz includes those afrochim that have not yet opened up their eyes. That seems to be assuming very clearly, like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, who said that on the day that a chick hatches, even on a weekday, you're not allowed to shechta because it's still considered a sheret until it opens up its eyes. Period. Now we get to the last statement of the daf. Amar Rav Huna Rav, beitza im yitziyasa nigmara. So that's the sentence that the beitza, the egg, on when it comes out, it becomes the creation of the egg is complete. But prior to that, it is not a complete egg. My im yitziyasa nigmara. What does that mean? L'may nafkamina. Is this like a biological observation that the egg is only complete on its way out? It must mean something lahalacha. It's got to have nafkamina lahalacha. So we're gonna have several possibilities. Again, we're only gonna go through the first couple today, but there are going to be five possibilities. So ilema, if you want to say it means possibility number one, im yitzias nigma umuteres la'achla b'chalav. Ooh, what does it mean that im yitzias nigma? It's an amazing thing. Lagabe hilchas basa b'chalav. Then now that the egg has come out, now you can make a cheese omelet with this egg. Prior to habimeima asur la'achla b'chalav, but while it was still inside the hen, it was also to have with chalav because it's still at a din of a basar that you're not allowed to have basa b'chalav. So would have been asur to have together with chalav. So says Gemara Vatanya, but that's not true because we have a brisa hashochet is tarnagolas umatzba beitzim gemuros mutaros liachlam b'chalav, that if you shecht the chicken and you find fully formed eggs inside the chicken, that lach is that it's mutter to eat those eggs with chalav. They do not have a status of basar. They have a status of chalav. So that can't be what it means that beitzim yitzias nigmara. The Tosos says, well, wait a second. There's a Mishnah Maseches Edios that tells us that beitzas nevela kol shekamosa nimkeres b'shuk, as long as it has a hard shell, beishame matirin beisila losrin, beishame is matal beisila asrus. So as long as it's b'meima, apparently it's still considered part of the mother. So how could you say that it's mutter to eat it together with chalav? I mean, our Gemara is saying right now that if you were to, before it came out, it's already mutter to eat with chalav. It's already not part of the meat of the mother. Says Tosfos, we have a Mishnah Maseches Edios. It says Beis Hillel holds not that way. So Tosfos writes a basar of b'chalav anyway is only nisur midrabanan. So on the beitza, they were not machmir, because the whole thing of beitza of chicken anyway with milk is only nisur midrabanan. Then Tosfos brings another kasha from a Gemara Maseches Erevin that a person should not be matir b'fnei rabo. The Gemara discusses in Maseches Erevin how careful one has to be not to paskin in front of his Rebbe, that it's a chutzpah to paskin in front of his Rebbe. So the Gemara has an expression, afilu beyasa bekutcha. You can't even paskin that a beitza could be eaten with kutach. Kutach is some sort of dip that they used to have. It comes up in a few places in Shas. It comes up in Pesachim, because apparently there were some stale pieces of chametz that were put into kutach. And it comes up in Chulin, because apparently there was some spoiled milk in kutach. Sounds delicious, right? They had this, whatever ingredients we know about it, don't sound all that great, but that was ancient ketchup. So even beyasa b'kutcha, so it's a milchik dip. So he said even to paskin that a beitza, together with this milchik dip is mutter. So even something, and what's the Gemara trying to say? Something that's so pashut, even that you're not allowed to be matir in front of your Rebbe. Why is that so pashut that a beitza could be had with a milchik dip? Well, we find Rabbi Yaakov asers it. So you have to say that it means that beitzim that are not mu'uros begidim, so which clearly don't have a din of basar, and Rabbi Yaakov only asked beitzim that are mu'uros begidim. So then you have the kasha, since it's so pashut that they're not considered part of the guf of the mother, so then why do we asr a beitzas nevela? So that's what Tosfos says, that even a beitzas nevela is not asr min adin, it's only gezeira atu beitzas trefa. But this is, makes it sound like, the Gemara makes it sound like such a simple line, not such a simple line about what exactly beitza is and how beitza develops and at what point it's no longer part of the mother and it's independent and it's no longer fleshig and now it becomes parif. It's not such a simple thing. There are some complicated halachos in Yeridaya about the development of an egg. But anyway, so that's a possibility of what im yitzias nigmara is rejected by the Gemara. So the Gemara says, let's try another possibility. Elo im yitzias nigmara means, as far as dinim of hachana are concerned, the Rabbah said that all the suddas for Shabbos and Yom Tov have to be muchan already from a weekday. So umateris la'achla b'yom tov. So it's telling us that Rav allows the beitza to be eaten on Yom Tov only if it was nolad or an erev yom tov, because then you know that the achana was nigmar on a weekday. Habimeima, but if it was inside the mother and you shechted it on yom tov, asur lach l'biyom tov. You're not allowed to eat it on yom tov because it was not yet nigmar on a weekday. It was only on yom tov itself that it was nigmar. And whenever the achana was not nigmar on a weekday, it's asur yom tov. That's achana de rabba. Says Gemara Vatanya, Hashochet is tarnagolos matzma beitzim kumuros mutaris lach l'biyom tov. But didn't the Braisa tell us that if you shechted tarnagolos and you find fully formed eggs that you're allowed to eat them on yom tov, that apparently were not choshesh, that it was not completed on a weekday? The chitema, maybe you're going to tell me we don't paskin like that braisa, because kamashmal bebraisa maidlashmiinan bemasnisan, we don't find any mishnah that says such a din. So if Rebbe didn't teach that din, so Rebbe Chia minayin, where would Rebbe Chia know such a din from? So says Gemara, you can't say that because hanami tanina, we have it in our mishnah as well. Beitza shenol de biyamtov, if beitza is nolad in yamtov, beishami omrim teachel, beishami says you let eat it, beisil omrim lo teachel, vaad kan lo pligi and the whole machlok zaad kan lo pligi beisham beisil ella binolda. They only argue if the beitza is nolad in yamtov, avul b'mei iman, but if the beitza was in the mother when yamtov started, divrei akol sharyon, everyone would agree that it's mutar on yamtov as long as you shech the mother. You shech the mother, you find the beitza, everyone agrees that's going to be mutar on yamtov. So don't try to tell me that it's a violation of Achana de Rabba. Everyone agrees that it's mutter in such a case. Maybe when Basil says that a beitza that's nolad in yom tov is aser, he doesn't only mean if it's nolad in yom tov. Even if you find it inside the mother in yom tov, it's aser. Why did he discuss a case of nolad in yom tov? The only reason the Mishnah spoke about a case of a beitza that was laid on yom tov was to tell you just how strong the Beis Shammai is in their opinion that even if it was nolad on yom tov, it's going to be mutter. Ella haditanya, so you can't say that. Ella haditanya, Ashok tarnagolos, and matzva beitzim gemuros mutarus lachon biyom tov money. Because then, who would be the author of the brayso who says that if you shech the tarnagolos and you find fully formed eggs that you're allowed to eat them on yom tov? Lo Beis Shammai, it wouldn't be Beis Shammai, because Beis Shammai is matir even if it was nolad on yom tov. The brayso is only matir if it was not nolad, if it was found inside of the mother. And velo Beis Hillel, then it wouldn't be Beis Hillel either, because we're saying that according to Beis Hillel, it would be aser even the beitzim b'meima. Ella, so the Gemara is going to say we have to say something else, that beitza imitzias nigmara must mean a third thing. But maybe, you know what, we'll pick up with that third thing. Be'ez Hashem on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, everyone should have a ksiva v'chsima tova, and Be'ez Hashem will see everybody on some Gedalia, and everyone here will see on Rosh Hashanah.
Ksiva
v'chsima tova. Good. Thank you.